Welcome to the Touring for Purpose podcast. My name is Mingo. I'm your host. And today we are in what is typically the sunny city of San Diego, but it's rained out today. We've got a rain day. Nonetheless, our guests are some of the best. I'm so excited. This is our first of 2017 conversations. We have Mark Wymore and now Drew Tevis, both from Soul Church. The podcast is all about giving people insight who are trying to navigate what it looks like to become the best version of who God made them to be. That's the bottom line. But as we address people in ministry, either who are running it or who are a part of it, so often I think that we only get a single view through a single facet, right, and we're left with a ton of questions. So in this podcast, what we try to do is give people a different perspective than maybe what their current situation is allowing them to see. And we use our experience, right? Today it'll be your guys' experience coupled together to give people another perspective. And that ultimately is the win, when we can share with other people perspectives in the same field, right? We're all trying to become better leaders. We're all trying to love people well. But man, it looks so different. And so if somebody, one person or two people, can get a sense of direction or clarity on their own scenario and their own situation because of somewhere you've been or something you've experienced, this is going to be a massive win. So I'm excited you guys are here today. Thank you for being with us. Mark, we don't have enough people who are willing to open their history book about the aches and pains in being a longtime ministry player who decided to roll the dice, cash in your chips, and go big. So I'm glad you're here too. So Drew, we spent New Year's Eve together. Our family spent New Year's Eve together, and you were saying how your first sermon that was going to come through the Soul Church platform was going to be about God doing this new thing. And certainly in the beginning of this year, everybody is hoping that God is going to continue to do something new in their world. You said that you were wrestling with that for like the better part of a year.
Right.
Right. So walk me through, as a seasoned leader, what were some of the things that made you start to look towards the new thing? I mean, how you said you texted, or you said that Facebook was the thing that connected you guys, but there was a stirring, there's something stirring concerning a new direction, a new thing. I'm sure there are leaders everywhere who are wondering, is this the season that I'm going to jump, right? Is this the season that, is 2017 going to be the year that I'm going to step out and go big? What were some of the stepping stones or some of the keys that you saw, if you could articulate any of them, in allowing you to step out that direction?
It's been a year of journeying through a new thing, but it is hard to articulate, because when you're in it, you're in it. And as maybe in 5 years from now, I can look back and be like, oh, I can connect all of these dots.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, I think the new thing for us is, when we're praying for God to do a new thing, sometimes you tell God, this is what I want to do. Mm. And in Isaiah 43, that's the new thing. I take it back to, he says, I am doing a new thing.
Right.
So it's all about God make a new thing, and it's not necessarily what you want to do.
Yeah.
But it says, I am making a way in the desert and the streams, and it goes back to him doing a supernatural new thing. Because I think a lot of times leaders and experience, we go upon our own natural abilities, and here it is. This is my experience, my knowledge. I'm going to make a new thing here, Lord. I'm praying that you're going to bless this new thing that I'm coming up with.
Yeah.
And God is saying, no, I am doing a new thing. You just watch, and you listen, and then you wait, and then you sit on that, and then you get confirmation, and then you pray about it. And he told my wife the same thing. So we wrestled with a new thing, Lord. What's a new thing going to be? And it was very clear that we were to, you know, our season of ministry at this, and this camp was over.
Right.
We're going to go to a new thing. And obviously God, because he didn't tell us exactly what that new thing was going to be. So that's a choice where he draws that line in the sand and be like, you're going to have to prove to people what you believe by what you do. Right. Not to say, hey, jump, God's with you. But he drew a line to sand and be like, when you jump, you're going to be in this moment where you're just going to be trusting me.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
That was a new thing for me, to trust. And
in that level, on that level,
on that level, he's like, you're going to take the next faith and be faithful. So
that's good.
It was one day at a time. That was new. That could be a new thing for a lot of people in ministry. He's like, I got to, you know, jump.
Yeah.
Step out in faith.
Now, this is a common parallel between the two of you, because Mark, certainly there was a jumping phase that you had to go through, having a history in a place, or at least a certainty by which you knew your gifting, you know, set you up for to be a worship leader. You knew that was a thing that you could do. God had blessed it, certainly had provided for you, given you provision. What was that? Could you articulate it for somebody who's wondering if they're experiencing the genesis of a potential shift in gameplay? I mean, what could you articulate it for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, it was a kind of a catastrophic event about 3 years ago. I found out I had kidney failure, and so they gave me a year to live.
Wow, that'll wake you up.
Yeah,
that'll get your attention.
And so, I mean, we had some of the greatest seasons of ministry for over 10 years in Seattle, church planning, all that stuff. And so 3 years ago, I got my sister's kidney, so I'm part woman now, praise the Lord.
I can tell your skin looked way smoother,
you know,
dude.
Exactly,
you know, this is the last time
exactly.
I saw you.
Greater is she that's in me. So, yeah, so I got my sister's kidney, which is like, what do I get her for Christmas this year? You know, she gave me
Seriously.
A gift. My gosh, what do I get her? So it's just an amazing gift to then dream again. And so I got out of the hospital, and it was like I can either stay where we're at and be comfortable or begin this new season. So for me, and there's probably many out there that God will get your attention, how he's going to get your attention, and God will use situations and circumstances to get you out of being stuck.
Yeah.
And in, you know, the calling of God is irrevocable. So if you've been trying to run or you're stuck in a situation, God will get you where he needs you to be.
Yeah, that's so good. I was thinking of the young guy that I was just sitting down with, and he's waiting for the invitation. He's waiting for the permission to be invited to focus everything he's got. But even before you arrive at that decision, in your case, it was your health coming to a point that like there was a stirring in you that went, if I had 11 months, what would I do with those 11 months?
And yeah, exactly.
Boom, you go catapulting into this thing.
Yeah.
Drew, yours is like a life season where it's like, okay, what's gotten me to this point isn't going to take me to the next point. And so there's a trust jump factor. There's a common denominator between the two of you though. And I'm wrestling with this right now, and you guys can tell me, you can back it up or you can maybe shift it, is there are tons of people who have an appetite to do something. There's a ton of people who get a sense that they want to be motivated to make a change or go big or start or launch. But there's a critical difference between having the appetite and then going out and just making the kill and deciding today I'm going to start, right? Drew, you said that it was prayer and it was anticipation that allowed you to see clearly through the circumstances as you were trying to weigh out different options. How did you start?
How did I start?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just Facebook, right? Or was it something as simple as, because sometimes I think people put in their mind, they're like, I have to make a giant leap to get this thing going. I got to have X amount of money in the bank to get this ministry off the ground. Is it true? I mean, is it small steps that lead to big, critical, cataclysmic difference making decisions in ministries?
Yeah, I think when you get the ball rolling, you have to make the step. So God asks you, be faithful. So you make the first step. You have a conversation with a supervisor. You have a conversation with your wife. You have a conversation with so-and-so. And then you see God sort of like adds more fuel to that fire. Mm-hmm. So you have a conversation that grows to another conversation. And you go somewhere and be like, today, Lord, show me something. And then he brings someone out of the blue. And you just start to see how God's hand gets that ball rolling. There's like a tipping point. So many little details came to fruition in following the Lord. It's not like one big thing. Like, here's the doors wide open. So
right.
Sometimes it can work like that for people, but I think God just wants you to be very faithful, and he wants you to trust in him. So his goal would be for you to have a life that just pleases him.
Yeah, continued faithfulness.
Him.
And stop maybe looking for that one big thing.
Here's the big opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's like, doesn't take faith. And we learn as you get older, you know, you learn faith is the only way to please the Lord is in those faith moments. So
that's
it's
good.
Not like, here's a position, here's a title, here's a job, take it. There's not too much faith in that, I believe. So these young leaders are like, I need to know.
What's the sign?
What is it? Yeah. So
let the stars align and
right.
Yeah. And then I'll step into my calling. I think you are who you are, where you are.
Regardless of what?
Right. Regardless of affirmation from others, regardless yeah. of your past, regardless yeah. of, I think to watch Drew step into this, it wasn't an overnight thing. It was, I had watched his life the last, we've known each other 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's what God's been doing the last 20 years, my life, his life, to now this moment. I mean, it took a year. We went slow. And I think that's a big part of, you know, for a lot of young leaders, they want the here and now right here. And so to watch Drew go through this process of even the last 8 to 9 months, you know, it was amazing. He finished really well where yeah. he was, which determines how you start, right?
I was just talking with a young guy yesterday about, you know, potentially a season of stopping. And one of the first keys I told him was like, don't let your current opportunity rob you of the next one.
Sure.
Right. And usually we don't see that because we get impatient with what we're doing. We don't think it's going fast enough or it's not good enough. And you don't want to let your exit spoil your start.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's so massive.
Exactly.
Mark, as your church, you said 14 months,
yeah.
right?
15 months
at Seoul. There are, I'm sure, some leaders who are wrestling with the question of when do I multiply, right? Not when do I go beyond myself, me and my wife working on this thing?
Yeah.
When do we invite some other people in on a very legitimate level, right? Yeah. You're not just saying, hey, would you volunteer your time? You're now saying, here's our resource. I'm cutting them in half. I'm giving you a significant portion of them.
Right.
What was it that got you to that point? Because my gut tells me that, you know, some people are wondering, when do we make the big shift to go from this is my thing and I want to start to make it our thing?
Our thing, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously there are a lot of models in planting churches. So you have the missional, communal, just maybe more of a neighborhood house church to then the launch models, which is launch big.
Launch loaded,
launch
essentially.
Launch loaded, essentially. Yeah. And so we wanted to be the both and. We just saw the best of both worlds. And so, when we moved down, we wanted to take a year to get the church ready. I knew I was parachuting in and didn't have relationships, didn't have necessarily a home church down here to bring 150 to however many.
Whatever. Yeah.
To come with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took a year and built our team in our house, started doing monthly gatherings. And the entire time I was traveling, leading worship, telling our story,
hustling
so every week getting ready. And so we did a lot of groundwork, foundational work in that year. And so when we launched September of 2015, we went weekly down in the city, and then this last September we went to two services. And and so it's now we're stepping into a season where I read a lot of stories, a lot of books about how the first 200 really is up to the leader. And then after that, it begins to, it develops, obviously, as anything does. And so we're now, you know, I really believe that healthy things grow, unhealthy things don't. And so we're 15 months into this.
Yeah.
It is growing. And so how do you staff? How do you multiply?
Yeah.
We've really gone with the model, go slow to go fast.
Yeah.
So we took a year. We were missionaries in the city. We asked a lot of questions. We met with as many people as possible. My wife and I did counseling. We did marriage counseling. We did independent counseling. That we knew how we started was really important because that would be the DNA of our church. And so we went slow to go fast.
That's great.
So that whole first year, I wanted to go weekly.
Yeah.
I wanted services.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just said we're...
The discipline to...
Of restraint, I
yeah,
would call it.
The
yeah,
discipline
yeah.
of restraint. And right. You know what I love? It reminds me of everything kingdom-oriented is always upside down. So
always.
If yeah. you're going to eventually be running out of, like, faster pace, you need to start slow.
Right.
And if you're going to reach thousands, you know, for Jesus, you need to focus real well on the few.
Right.
In the progression that he allows
right.
you to grow.
Right.
You know, it's funny. We're in the purpose-driven tour bus as we run this podcast. And that's one of the things that Rick really, he believes wholeheartedly that healthy things grow.
Yeah. Right.
So surely you are experiencing a health in your ministry that's allowing you the things, it's allowing you to experience that kind of growth. But there was a multiplier effect where you went, okay, from one pastor focusing on the flock, you use that number right around that 200 mark. What is the significance in that? And what did you hope? What were you hoping to get out of bringing in a second pastor? I mean, run me through the risks of that and run me through the perceived benefits. It's fresh, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we don't have like a scoreboard to see
it's like
all
my
that.
Third day. It's my third day officially on staff at Soul Church.
But for pastors who are like in that, I know it's unfortunate. I know pastors who have ceased to exist pastoring a church because they couldn't make the jump.
Sure.
From
sure.
being the single pastor to saying, you know what, I need to start. We need to figure out what that multiplication
right.
matter means.
Right. Yeah. And by no means are we doing it perfectly. So
no, but this is the great experiment
messy.
That we get to talk
yeah,
about,
exactly.
which
and
is great.
Which I think is the difference between the art and the science of leadership. Right.
Okay.
Read every book. Have seen other people do it, very idealistic. This mm-hmm. is how it's going down. Mm-hmm. So church planning's been everything I thought it would be, and then nothing I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's good.
So from staffing to when do we start services to what does discipleship look like to watched everybody else do it. And so now when you're in the seat, I think I said it to you earlier, the difference between being the guy and a guy is a Grand Canyon.
Yeah, yeah.
Being the guy now, it's a whole different weight and grateful for it. So... I think right now the science of it is, can you afford somebody to bring them on the team?
If yeah, you can't, let's just start there, then, right?
Yeah, yeah, let's start in the
are
real,
the basic dollars
real,
there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the art of it, is it the right timing? Is it the right person?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So
in his case, it was yes.
Yeah.
Drew.
Right
absolutely.
The absolute right
and
person.
Drew is one of a few. So we have a couple of part-time now.
That's great.
We have a couple that are stipend. And I've told everybody that's come down, hey, come down, move to the city, love our city first. Get a job in the city. I think that can be the carrot that we dangle in front of leaders. Hey, come be a part. I'm going to pay you.
And that's unfortunate because yeah. a lot of people buy that, and it's a yeah. reckless promise yeah. from a leader to say, right. hey, we're going to try to do something here.
Well, Drew sat in our church for 8-9 months, and I never was like, hey, I got something for you. I mean, he interviewed with other.
That's good.
Significant churches.
That's good. Yeah, and that's a great
right.
Heed to leaders who have the potential to lead people on. I mean, as
absolutely.
Dumb as that sounds,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't want people to put their false hope in right. what you can promise them as a leader with a potential position,
yeah.
which leads us to our next question as planes fly over our heads. Drew, what was it that allowed you to hope through the transition? What I mean, the right answer is God, but I mean,
yeah.
what was
faith
the...
Faith is the substance of things hopeful.
Way to go. You get the A
down.
In Christian answers.
Write it down.
But I'm saying, like, was it, you know, what were the things that competed for your hope? I mean, did you ever find a season where you're trying to lay it into something else, you know? And
yeah, when you have to grieve the loss of something, a camp that you've been in, an environment that you've been in, you've been like the local guy at the spot getting all the... You know, all the waves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you leave that, you're like, oh my gosh, there's a cost of that, of being comfortable. And oftentimes we just want to take the path of least resistance. You know?
Oh
so
man, that's so good.
Is, but it grows your faith. You know, if you pray dangerous prayers of like, Lord, stretch my faith, I want something new, then the opportunity is going to come and you have to recognize that and then you have to be willing to go and do it because
you
there's
have to
so
have the
many other
to
young
run.
Leaders that you've been preaching this message and giving people pats on the back and watching people go, but then now it's your turn and you have to think of all those relationships, all those people that you love that's what are watching you, that's going to trickle down and that's going to be better for the whole kingdom of God. You know what I mean? And it's also just takes some courage and I have to think about my wife and my kids and what kind of dad I want to be, what kind of leader I want to be, what kind of friend I want to be, and in my future, and no regrets, and all these things. So the hope is in that. It's not easy. To be honest, there was like some grief, there was some like depression. I had to see counseling,
sure.
you know, and there's a walk me through some of those lies I believe about myself, about my shape, about my fruit. Where can I be most impactful? And then when it came down to it, you know, just conversations with the Lord of like, where could I be most fruitful?
Yeah.
Where could I be most impactful? Which kind of camp am I going to be at? It's not the opportunities, because those come as you get older, but it is the right place. Where could I just glorify God the most?
So it sounds like package this and wrap it for a young leader or a person who's looking for some sort of direction within a ministry sense or scope, that there's a high level of EQ that one has to have. You have to do your due diligence to know yourself before you can just start applying for positions in any specific camp. And I'm sure that as a leader, what you're hoping is that people are doing that homework before they come to you, because there's a certain amount of discernment you have as you start to entertain the idea of bringing somebody to the table on a regular employed basis.
Absolutely.
If I'm hearing Drew come to the table with that journey, where did the Lord have you as Mark Wymore, planting pastor, former celebrity worship leader? Where did he have you in your journey that you were like, dude, I need help. There's a moment now where we need to start to bring
security.
In more.
He needs security.
Oh, I needed a security team. Okay, good. Yeah. Obviously, the muscle. He needed the muscle.
Exactly. Yes. Been training, discipling, crafting, shaping, molding.
A lot of chiseling. Yep, it's
and,
all there.
I think, you know, when you're hiring, you're either hiring from growth, like there's so much growth we need to hire, or you're hiring for growth. And so I think we were kind of right in the middle of that. So
is one better or worse than the other, in your opinion, as you've been living it now? Because you said, there's a person who writes about it in a book, but then here you are on the field.
Yeah, that's where grace comes in, because I think I've seen both pastors hire for growth and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or it grew so fast and they hired the wrong people, and so they were transitioning a couple months later. Yeah. So, I think it's a both and. That's that... that's where we're at right now, is like in September to now we grew 100 people. So it's like, what do we do with this?
Yeah, that's good.
And so, but I'm not happy where we are. So we actually brought on a few key team members. And so that's the side right now that I'm getting a lot of coaching right now of, is the who more important than the what they're doing?
Yeah.
My preference would be hire a great squad and get the right person on around the table. And so we're servants, not specialists. So at any point, Drew is loving families, but you know, if we got to clean toilets, I'm there with him.
We're ready to roll.
If we're leading, we're not specialists. And I don't hire specialists. We hire servants.
Yeah.
And that's something that's why we go slow to get to know and hire people. So.
And that's a great piece of wisdom for somebody who's looking to find a spot within a local ministry.
Just go serve.
Yeah, reflective of the soul DNA, the church. You guys are looking for somebody who's willing to put their whole heart into it without promise, because then it allows both of you to see the ministry without strings attached, right?
Sure.
Somebody is serving without strings attached.
Sure.
And you get to really see them as a leader and see how they are served well, because you're ultimately serving the servers who serve
the
people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're empowering leaders. So Mark's not trying to build his own kingdom, you know, hiring people for himself.
I know
that Mark was, he wants to build a kingdom. And he told me, he said, I will plant you across the street if it's to get the gospel out in San Diego. And
that's
I was
a
like,
great word.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
A lot across the street. Okay,
Here's a question for you. In the book, I've been going through this bad boy. This is Purpose Driven Church. Rick wrote it as a memoir.
A good book.
He wrote it as a memoir 10 years after he planted Saddleback, right out of the same kind of motivation to, you know, see the kingdom expand. And he knew different types of churches for different types of people. Saddleback Valley was loaded with churches. So it wasn't like there was any shortage of churches where they were, but he knew that God was calling him to plant a specific kind of church for a specific kind of person. In the opening of that book, he talks about the difference between people who identify spiritual waves that God sends. He sends these waves of opportunity, and he uses the analogy of surfers, right? So I love this, that Drew, born and raised in Hawaii, a natural surfer, but now you guys are leading ministry together. Rick would argue that too many churches are trying to generate waves. They're trying to make waves instead of learning how to see them, ride them well, and even to the extent of ejecting, getting off of them so that you're prepared for the next one, right?
Right.
Drew, entertain that thought for me. Now that you are over a decade in ministry, served for two decades, is there validity still in that? Is that still relevant today?
Yeah, like surfing big waves?
Well, just the idea that ministry sometimes can focus on the wrong thing. They
That's where I talked about the new thing. Is that you think new thing, cool, cool. You try to make a new thing for yourself, but it goes, I am doing a new thing. So what is God doing?
God is the wave maker.
He is the wave maker. And you have to see it building. I tend to gravitate towards seeing, like, just having that seeing the new wave, check it out. So, yeah, so Good Surfer is not, and Rick didn't mention this, but, you know, like, if you see the guy on a really good wave, he spent a lot of time in the water because he knows exactly where the goo wave is going to be.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, the guy's so lucky, this guy wave, he's just standing there and things is barreling and he spit him out. Oh my gosh,
he's so good.
But he has so much knowledge in the water, he can tell which wave is going to
break where and the frequency that it's going to come.
Spiritual world, you can see that. So for me, that is what I saw at Soul Church and Mark's story when I camped out there and I brought my family there. I saw a new thing building. I'm attracted to the new thing building. Yeah. And I thought I could be a part of that.
You saw the wave. I love that. If you haven't read it, it's so good. You know, I love the wisdom in that because so many people can stand on the shore, look out on the lineup and go, man, I'm going to start surfing because it's so easy. Look at that guy just ripping it to death.
They're just standing
there. Yeah. How many slams and how many disappointing attempts did that guy go through in order to be as smooth on the water? You know what I'm saying? So clearly God has allowed you to spot a wave, right? A ministry wave that he has released in the San Diego area. You and your wife are jumping on it, along with several others. I love that there's no shortage of church plants. What do you tell your fellow ministry leaders in the same season as you? And I'm gonna back end it also with, what do you tell the 10-year younger version of each of you? So you're 39. I want to know what you would say to the 29-year-old Mark Wymore, and then same thing with you, because that's the audience that we have tuning in.
Yeah. I think that's a really loaded question. So thank you, Jimmy Fallon. You're doing a great job here. I think for as far as the wave and what we saw God was doing down here. It's both and. It's like what God is doing in us as well as the city, and were we willing to come down, lay down our agendas, lay down and be missionaries in a city, listen to what the city needed, not to what we felt like they needed.
You're speaking about sacrifice right now. So you're speaking about sacrifice and you're speaking about listening.
Yes, the year of being a student, of what it would look like to contextualize ministry here.
I want people just to stop and like sit on that one. You took a year to listen and to become students of the place you wanted to make an impact in.
Right.
1 year, 12 months, 52 weeks. And I can think of so many young people who are like, I got the idea, I want to start it today. And then when it doesn't flesh out 4 weeks from now, they feel like they failed. So 1 year was the mark you spent in the cooker just observing.
Yeah. And we lived on mission. So it started in my house. And if I couldn't bring my neighbors to do life with us, if I couldn't then move it outside of that and start getting a core group of people, you know, it was the tester for us. We wanted some tangible things. We had amazing coaches and amazing leaders. I don't think denominations and organizations plant churches. Churches plant churches.
That's good.
And so we were connected to parent churches and partner churches. And so, I mean, the faithfulness of people giving, praying, all of those things, it took time. And I think that's the wave. Today's the day of salvation.
You're saying it's time to take action.
It's time. So to the leader who's sitting in her church complaining about their lead pastor.
You were just talking about this at lunch.
It probably is time for you to stop complaining, be submitted where you're at, serve that, or come out and start your own mess.
Yeah, start ministering in your own world. And did you say miss or mess? Because I want to believe you said your own mess. Yes, because it is messy, dude. Totally.
It is. And so, and I think the wave is what God is doing in the city. So so move to a city you love.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't go to a city. You know, I know friends that went and they did the sacrifice, but they hated the city.
They were tapped.
In. Right.
Early.
And so you won't reach people you're offended by. You won't reach people that you don't like.
Yeah.
And so we came to a city we love. We came to a city that we can do life with and started just loving the
Charger,
people.
Charger fan. He's still a Seattle
fan. Huge Charger fan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Bleeding bolts.
I surf the web. Like I don't surf, but I see an amazing creative community. I see families here.
Yeah, great city.
And, yeah, I was out on the USS Midway with my grandparents, and my grandpa had served in the military, and I went out to the end, and I was looking over downtown, and I just felt like the Lord said, I'm building a battleship here. And so our heart is that Soul Church would be a church plant that plants churches. And so there's 19 cities in San Diego. I'm asking that people will leave their mess.
And start a new one.
Comfortability.
Yeah.
Come be with us for a season. And then we would be able to plant them. And so
that's so good. And healthy things reproduce.
Come on.
Healthy things reproduce. They don't just grow, they reproduce.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So Drew, what do you tell the
30-something-year-old?
Yeah, the 30-something-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. Leader, learner, ministry, floating around.
Well, I've been hearing some really amazing things, and I think that's a testimony just to no matter how old you are, keep learning. You gotta keep learning. Yeah, so coming out of a season of like, you know, I been in ministry for X amount of time, like this is how it's supposed to be. The church is always changing, so that what worked today is not going to work tomorrow. So always looking ahead of what the church is going to be like in a few years, not taking your own ministry experience and applying it to where you're at. Also too, I believe like relationships are really key. So I just heard a friend of ours give a podcast about God created us for relationships, not for results. Oftentimes, young leaders want to prove themselves by getting results. So you get that when you're growing up. You're playing sports, you need to have a result to get starting. But God's economy is so different than the world's economy. Bigger churches, bigger titles, bigger salaries doesn't mean better for God. So Rick even says it, healthier is healthier.
Yeah, healthy is healthy.
For me, where could I be planted? Where it's not a next title, a bigger place. It is the best place for me where I can be the most fruitful.
In line with
I
your
mean,
shape.
Where I could be, have the most... relationship. So our value, we're very relational rather than results. Results are going to come when you have relationships. You grow the people, you grow the church. So you grow the people.
That's great.
And the church will grow because the church is the people. It's not just all the other stuff that I think people get caught up in and comparing numbers and this and that and what are you doing and how sexy it is and how tight are your jeans and stuff.
Mine are super tight.
Yeah, I had to throw my jeans in the dryer to come with it. So everyone's super creative. So I had a new baby.
Oh, I love that.
I'm on the
team.
Dude. You're 42, bro. That's really tight.
Mark, anything come to your mind as we close this down, the 10-year younger version of yourself?
Right. At 30, I hit a wall. And which I see a lot of 30-year-olds
hit.
That quarter-life crisis. I hit my wall. I had a sabbatical with an amazing pastor who just said, take time, get healthy. And so 29, 30-year-old version, I would say have more fun.
Have more fun. So take yourself less seriously.
Yeah, take the things of the Lord serious, not yourself.
That's good.
And and have fun, enjoy relationships.
That's
laugh.
Good. Man, I got floored when you said relationships are not for results. Yeah. You know,
I didn't say it. I heard it, but
you just reset it. So you're gonna get quoted for it now. Anyways, thank you guys so much. If people want to follow your story, if they want to stay connected to the Soul Church story, how do they do that?
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, soulchurchsd.com.
Soulchurchsd.com.
On our website, or just soulchurchsd.
That's
our
awesome.
Handle. So,
you guys, thank you so much for sharing your insight, your weaknesses, your victories with us. I'm hoping that for our live viewing audience and for those that are going to be listening to the podcast, that this gets them to the next step. And if you are listening to this, I appreciate you. This is the Touring for Purpose podcast. Be sure to check out Soul Church SD and some of our previous episodes if you liked what you got, and we will talk to you guys later.